should be on. Can y'all hear me?
All right. Good.
Amen. Huh? Oh. Yes, ma'am. How's everybody doing?
Good, sir.
Good. Well, we got water everywhere. I just throw this down there. Amen. Good to see all y'all smiling faces. Do y'all have those books? I got one right here on my desk. I'll grab it real fast. So, Dr. Ricky, mom and dad, they're going to be here this weekend, right? And he's more than likely going to be talking about love. And this is actually just an excellent book, but we got it, and it's called Love, the Way to Victory. Amen. I don't know how many of y'all was here that Wednesday night that we listened to him on Facebook Live, but this book is excellent. It really is excellent. And he's more than likely going to be teaching on some more of it. Reason I brought it up here is to say we have some. We got we had 20. I think a couple people already got some. But they're $20. They should be in the bookstore. They're $15 a piece if you want one. I'd grab one. If you'd like to, your choice, they will help you. Amen. All right, we'll pray and get started. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. I thank you, Father God, not my will, but your will be done this evening. Not what Ricky wants to say, but what you would have for this congregation, and not only this congregation, Father, but also for myself. I thank you, Father God, that my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truths from your word this evening. And Holy Ghost, sir, we ask you to unveil and reveal truths from the word to us this evening. And I thank you, Father God, that we will receive it. We won't just be hearers of the word, but we'll also be doers. We won't just hear it and leave the same, but we'll hear it and attach our faith to it and watch it and begin to watch it work in our lives. And we thank you for it and we praise you for it. And everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about y'all, but today was a wild day at work, huh? Man. Okay. Let me slow down a minute. Get regrouped here. Turn back over to Hebrews 4 real fast, please. Out of the Passion. Amen. Hebrews 1 right here says, now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into his realm of resting and confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to what? Experience it. Next, please. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did. Amen. That's an important word right there. Because it says we've heard it just as they did. Who's he talking about? The Israelites, right?
Yes.
Amen, I agree. Yet, they didn't what? So see, whenever you're, okay. They did not join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply. For they doubted it. See, we could have one of the best world-renowned preachers, you know, or ministers or whoever, come up here and preach an excellent, I'm talking about a message that would change your life, whichever message from the Word should change your life. But if I just sit there and I don't accept it, I don't believe it, then is it on the pastor? A lot of times people want to put it back on the pastor. He's either lost it. He doesn't have it like he used to have it. He doesn't know how to pray in faith anymore. Whenever it's on the individual itself. But that kind of goes back to, you know, how everything is now. You know, everybody, I don't want to take the blame for something. I'm going to blame everybody else. I don't want to be accountable to myself. I want to blame you. That way, it makes me feel better. and it looks like you're the problem, not me. That way I don't have to fix anything on my life, but you need to correct yourself. I know, it's pretty good, ain't it? Amen. But it'll help you though, because if you do have that mindset, then everybody else will always be the problem, but yet you'll always stay in the same rut.
Yes, amen.
And you'll be confused. You know, ministers talked about, mainly Brother Hagin talked about a few people. They'd come up for healing, and they've been prayed by like Dr. A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts. You know, first time he was healed. Went back, ended up having something else going, went back and had all these. And then Amy Simple McPherson, he's like, well, she used to have it, but now she don't have it, so I got to go somewhere else. And just kept going to these ministers. And then finally, Brother Hagin said, well, when are you? Because he came up for prayer, and as soon as he touched him, the Holy Ghost just told Brother Hagin, he doesn't believe it. He's not doing anything. He's relying on your faith to do it. But he's come far enough now, he needs to use his faith. It's like we was talking about Sunday. Would I expect the same accountability from an 18-year-old as I would from a 5-year-old? Why not? Why not? How do you think Christians are once they get saved? A lot of times, some of us that are grown up are not grown up. I ain't grown up yet. Some people that have been in the ministry for a long time are a lot mature and understand things more, correct? So why would God expect the same thing from a minister that's been doing this a long time that they would from somebody that just got saved yesterday? That doesn't make sense, does it? So see, just like we have to grow up naturally, we have to grow up in the Word. We have to. It's up to us. It's not up to God, because He's gave us the way to do it. And so once again, it's back on the individual. It's His choice. Either He wants to or He doesn't. Or she wants to or she doesn't. You know, a lot of times it's too much because, you know, I really like my TV shows. I got other things to do, you know. Amen. But not us, right? Amen. But the Word didn't do them any good because they didn't do what? Mix any faith with it. At all. What they mixed with it was doubt. What they mixed with it was, God, you ain't big enough. God, there is no way that you can get me out of this jam this time. There is no way that you'd be able to pay this bill. No way. Because if my job can't do it, I don't know how you're going to do it. Or we'll pray and say, all right, now God, I got a five-step plan on how you can do this. And then we try to tell Him how to take care of His business. Like we're in charge. Any of y'all ever prayed about something or believed God for something, and as soon as you said amen, you know, like younger, back when I was younger, you know, pray and then you said amen and you kind of get a feeling on the inside, you're like, yes, my prayer was heard. Why am I judging if my prayer was heard off of my feelings now? Why am I judging that I was either healed or what I'm believing God for got answered based off of my senses now?
Yes. Amen.
Because what do my senses have anything to do with faith?
Amen.
So then why am I trying to base something off of a feeling? We need to get that established. Why am I trying to base anything off of a feeling? Because my feelings will deceive me. My feelings will lie to me. My feelings will try to tell me I'm sick. You don't like that person. Go hit that person. You guess what they were saying about you? Probably ain't even saying nothing about you. But you want yourself just wants to fight everybody though. You're like, I bet they're talking about me too. No, I did. Yeah, I do. God wanted to go this way. Amen. I say, I don't know why we went this way, but it's good. Amen. So then, we shouldn't ever, once we say amen, regardless of how we feel, If we actually believe it, if we speak it, believe it, and don't doubt, it'll come to pass, won't it? According to Mark 11, 23, 22, right? So if I believe that, and I put what he says, his laws, into operation, then it'll work for me every time. But if I work my laws, then I come up short, and then I start second-guessing faith, going, well, does that faith really work? Yes, it does, but did you do the correct steps? Well, let's find out the steps, right? Amen. Go to Mark 11, please. Well, what does that one say? Turn to Hebrews 11, please. Passion again. Hebrews 11, 1. No. Yeah, we'll read this one real fast. The Passion, it says, now faith, what's the next word?
Brings.
I'd write that down. Brings. Now faith brings. So then, what would doubt do? Now faith does without. Can't see it. Doesn't know, doesn't have ownership. Doesn't have the title deed, as the Moffat's translation says. Because faith is the title deed. Title deed, that's what the Moffat says. Amen. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Becomes the foundation. What's a foundation? Something that will not fall down regardless of the storms that show up. You know, in Oklahoma, we actually build safe rooms. My cousin built a house a few years ago, and he built a big safe room. Instead of doing a cellar, he did one in his house, just made it a big safe room. But the walls are like 2 feet thick. So tornado come, whatever, we good. I remember one evening, a tornado, they sounded the alarm and stuff, and it was in Ralston, I believe. And so we all went to his house because he had a huge safe room, so we all could fit in there. But it's funny because you get a bunch of rednecks. We ain't redneck. I just have a little bit of an accent. You get a bunch of people that are from there that, you know, that tornadoes don't bother people. Well, some people it does, but. So we went out on the back porch and watched it just go right past the house, all of us. We made, you know, made all the kids go inside. Yep. This ain't safe for y'all. We'll be outside if you need it. So, yeah. But watched it go by. I don't know why I told you that. Moving along. Faith brings, oh, a foundation, yeah. Foundation. We were safe. We knew we were safe in that safe room. We knew we were safe. Just like you go in a cellar, you know you're safe in there. Amen. It's the foundation needed. The foundation needed. Every time I think about foundation, though, I think of that kid's story of the three little pigs. One of them built his foundation to where the wolf couldn't even touch him. Whenever the storm showed up, nothing could blow it down. Nothing could tear it away. Nothing could take it from him. And so he just stayed right where his faith was. He just stayed right where his foundation was. He just stayed right there where it was firm and sturdy. That way, when the storm showed up, it can't move him. I'm good. Unless he decided to go outside. Unless something grabbed his attention and got him looking somewhere else other than what God said and what God promised and what God said belongs to you and what God said is yours. Because faith brings every time. Faith brings every time. And so the question we need to ask is God, not God, how come you're not? It's God, where am I missing it in my faith, or what am I doing that's wrong? Why am I not seeing results like I should? That's, once again, it's back on us. We need to ask God. And he'll let us know, just do this, and there you go. Or he'll just tell you, just continue to stand. Because when you've done all to stand, stand. Amen. Because faith stands, right? Faith doesn't go off emotions. Faith doesn't go off feelings. So regardless of how the body's feeling or what the body's saying, faith brings it to him. He already knows it belongs to him. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed. Hallelujah. See, amen. The foundation, and then what's the next word? It needs it. It needs that faith foundation so that you know it belongs to you. So that regardless of what shows up, you're not moving off, you're not moving to the side, and you're not sinking. So faith is needed to build the foundation for you to stand on so that you can get what you're believing God for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed. Amen. Y'all remember I was believing God for a truck because I always got to drive the hoopties around. Chelsea got the nice cars. Which it should be. The man shouldn't be driving around in a nice car while his wife drives kids and everybody around in a hoopty. Should have heard a way better amen than that from the guys. Amen. And so I was believing God for a truck, and it was two or three years or so. And then finally, this Dodge outside showed up. And I paid half price for a brand new truck that had 7,000 miles on it. See, if I didn't have that faith, the foundation for that faith to be able to stand, then every day I'd been like, I got to get back in this piece of junk vehicle. Got to drive this hoopty around a little more. Where's my truck at, God? I believe in you for a truck. Where's it at? Sometimes we the world's made everything so instant that if we don't have it now, then we start questioning God. God, I thought you said.
Amen.
Well, he did. But if you have that foundation, you won't question it. Because if you have the foundation, you already know it belongs to you. But if you don't have the foundation, then you're going to question everything. Is my faith working? Is this really, God, did you really promise this? God, does this really belong to me? God, why ain't you doing something? But if I have the foundation underneath me, when Satan tries to bring the thought, see, God ain't going to do that for you. You just laugh at him. Yeah, it belongs to me. It's mine. I'm a joint heir, first off. And so you stay firm, you stay steady, and you don't allow the thoughts of unbelief and doubt to shake you off the foundation. Y'all ever played King of the Hill? What's the point? To knock whoever's on the hill off the hill. So that you can become the king of the hill. Same thing Satan's trying to do about your about you and your foundation.
Amen.
We ain't got time to talk. Amen. We're going to have to keep going. Amen. It's a foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. Amen. And I love this last statement. I really do. This really just helps. It should really help you. Amen. It says, it is, talking about faith. Amen. So faith is all what?
The evidence needed.
All the evidence required. So I'm not looking for a feeling.
Amen.
I'm not looking for a sign. Because we're not moved by signs. We're moved by the witness on the inside of us. Amen. Faith is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen.
Amen.
Faith's all the evidence I need.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Next, please. This testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for.
Yes.
Amen. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the what?
The invisible realm.
There you go. See, it gave birth So God's words, when he spoke them to the invisible realm, it gave birth to all that seen. So whenever you're speaking faith and believing God for something, you're just waiting for it to give birth to it. You know it's working. You're just waiting for the birth of it. I guess better word. I don't know if there's a better word or not. So he spoke, and the invisible realm, because there was no light.
Yes, sir.
Right? Was there trees? Was there anything?
No, sir.
But yet he spoke to it.
Yes.
And the invisible realm gave birth to it,
yes,
to the unseen. And now everything is here. Whatever you want to see, drive around, get in an airplane, look at it.
Yes.
But words, faith-filled words, spoke it into existence, though. So what are my faith-filled words speaking into existence? Because if we're created in the image of God, in the likeness and image of God, right? And we're supposed to act like God, like our Father, then whenever we speak, so I'm living today what I spoke yesterday.
Yes, sir.
He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Amen. Next, please. Faith moved Abel. Let me see. Do I want to keep going? What time is it? Next one. Please. Next one. Next one.
Rush this.
Next one, please. I think we're going to stop. I don't really have time to keep reading all these. Go over to Mark, go back to 17 real fast, sorry. 11:17. We'll read 17 and 18. And then y'all can turn over to Mark 11 if you want to. Faith operated powerfully in Abraham, for when he was put to the test, he offered up Isaac. Even though he received God's promises of descendants, he was willing to offer up his only son. Amen. Next. For God had promised, through your son Isaac, your lineage will carry on your name. Abraham's faith made it logical to him that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and symbolically, that's exactly what happened, right?
Amen.
So he got the word from God that you're going to have a son, right? And then God said, go sacrifice him. And he said, all right. Why? Because he had the foundation. First off, he had the word to stand on. Amen. It's part of the foundation, right? Mark 11, 22. I'm going to read it out of the Dowie. Dowie, we don't have that, I'm guessing. The Dowie, Mark 11:22, says, and Jesus answering said to them, have the faith of God. Amen. Have the faith of God. Amen. I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. This, I don't know if any of y'all have the Dowie, but this next sentence here is very interesting. It says, so it says, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and then it says, and shall not stagger in his heart. Shall not stagger in his heart, but believe that whatsoever he says shall be done, it shall be done unto him. Amen. But shall not stagger in his heart. So I looked up stagger, and it says to move unsteadily. Excuse me. And then the Noah Webster, 1828, it says to hesitate, to begin to doubt and waver in purpose, to become less confident or determined. Amen. To hesitate. Well, does that belong to me? I'm not sure. Well, I don't know if that does, is mine. I'm really not sure. So can you pray about something that you're unsure about? Can you have faith in something that you're unsure about? Amen. So, I mean, even when the word was preached to the Israelites, they didn't mix faith with it. They didn't believe that that word was good enough to get them to where they need to go.
Amen.
They didn't believe the word from God was powerful enough to get them in a relaxed job, in a relaxed place, to be able to just live off the land and live in overflow. Because they got mad enough to where they're like, man, just take us back to Egypt to be slaves. That's way better than this. Kind of thinking is that to want to go back to being a slave whenever God had, he's already told you, look, this is the promised land, this belongs to you, you're going to be living in overflow. But you want to go back to being a slave and being told when you can wake up, when you can eat, what you have to do, barely get any food, you have to build so many bricks a day, if you're not working hard enough, I'm going to beat you with a whip. So staggering is to hesitate, to begin to doubt and waver in purpose, to become less confident. To become less confident. Amen? Yeah. To become less confident. Yeah. That's why we need to find out immediately. If we know good and well that something belongs to us, and we know good and well we released our faith. That's another sermon. But how do you release your faith? By saying. How do you release your faith? Yes, you do. You have to say. That's how you release your faith. You have to say it. So if I can have all the faith in the world, but if I don't speak to something, is it going to happen? Am I going to release any faith?
No, sir.
No, I'm not. So I could have all the faith in the world, but if I don't speak to something, what am I doing with the faith then? It's have no effect on anything. How did God use his faith?
He spoke.
He had to speak.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Amen.
And then what happened? Yeah, it came to pass, everything he spoke. Amen. Did he say, do y'all have that? Let me turn over there in the King James. We got the King James, don't you? Mark 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Amen. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall what? There's your key.
Yes.
Say.
Say, yes, sir.
And it doesn't have to be a literal mountain. A mountain could be whatever standing between you and what God promised you.
Yes,
a mountain could be some bills that piled up on the table. See, there was a bill that we got unexpected a few years ago. And, you know, it's back before, amen, we got an overflow. Hallelujah. So we got the bill, and instead of me throwing a fit, falling on the ground, going, God, why? Well, did God send that bill? No. The bill company sent the bill.
Yes, sir.
What does that have to, I don't know why we'd blame God for something that's here naturally. Amen. Like he's coming down here making out secret bills to pass out to everybody. Amen. So we got this bill unexpectedly, and we was like, you know what? It's a great opportunity to show the kids how to operate in faith. So we called them out there to the kitchen. We said, look, we have this bill. We don't have the money to pay it. It's due by this Friday. So we're going to operate in faith. We're going to show y'all how we operate in faith and how we use our faith. And so we placed it on the table. We spoke to the bill and commanded it to be paid in the name of Jesus. Said amen. Moved on. Did y'all stand there and pray for 3 hours? No. No. Because whoever shall what?
Say.
Amen. And then if you read 24, it talks about praying, right? So there's the law of saying, and there's the law of praying. You don't have to pray about everything. You can speak to some things. Amen. So that was our mountain, so we spoke to it. And that Thursday, like Wednesday night or Thursday, the money was in our account to pay that bill. And I think we had a little extra left over, too, I believe. Amen. Not talking about things that I heard about from people. Amen. We have to live this stuff out just like everybody else does.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. But we read it, we learn it, we get it in our heart, we mix faith with it, and then we start operating in it.
Amen.
Because first off, if it worked for everybody else in the Word, it'll work for me. And so, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into what? And shall not what?
Doubt in his heart.
Or stagger in his heart, but shall
believe
that those things which he thought, which he thought, which he spoke, he didn't think them. But shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he thinks.
No, whatever he said. Amen.
Hmm. Whatsoever he says. Does that say whatsoever his spouse says?
No, sir.
Because my faith doesn't operate off of her. My faith operates off me and what I'm feeding.
Yes, sir.
Just like my natural man needs body, my spirit man needs faith food.
Amen.
We have to feed our faith daily on the Word of God. Just like, you know, there was this young girl, she was in her, or young boy, I mean, in his teens, and he saw this big old bodybuilder. He's like, Mom, why don't I have muscles? She's like, Son, you do have muscles, first off. Everybody's born with them. But he put loads on his muscles. He loaded his muscles daily with weight. And he exercised them and pushed them and trained them to be able to expand and to grow bigger and then to be able to push more weight and have resistance of weight. And so that's how he became and got bigger. So the little kid has muscles just like the bodybuilder does. It's just the bodybuilder's been exercising and doing it and doing what he needs to do to get his muscles to develop, to get bigger. That way, whenever the show comes up, he can win first place, right?
Yes.
That way, whenever a situation pops up, we already have the faith we need and we can just go ahead and handle it.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Because if I wait to get faith till I need faith, I'm too late.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. So, did he say that we'll have everything that we say? No. It's a trick question. These are trick questions. Don't answer them. So did he say we will have everything we say? No. Did he say we will have everything we believe? No. Because if I'm saying and I don't believe it, am I going to have it?
Amen. No.
If I believe something but I'm not saying anything, am I going to have it? So see, this is like another spiritual law put into motion. It says you have to say it, you can't doubt in your heart, and believe it. And then what's going to happen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I thought you said something. Sorry. Talk. You want to talk about your rubber band? Talk about your rubber band real fast, please.
Pastor Ricky had. There it is. Pastor Ricky had asked me if I had anything about faith in action, and so. First he asked me if I was in the kids. I said, yeah, I'm in the kids. It's my last class back there. But then I said, but if you need me, I'm here for you. And then I had to correct myself. I said, well, if you want me out there, I'll be there, right? And so I said, and to get off the phone, I said, I'll just start praying. Simple as that. So I started praying. I was on my way home from Kingman, and I started praying, and it came up in my spirit, rubber bands. And I was so when God, I think that's because I'm a children's teacher. God puts weird, silly things in my spirit. And so he brought up rubber bands for whatever reason. I'm like, okay, so rubber bands, what's that got to do with faith? And the first thing that came up is a rubber band, right? If it's just loose and you tried to, like, you put a pencil in there, it wouldn't hold the pencil. Pencil fall right out. Right? Take a pen. There we go. So, just falls right out. But, can I get one of those books? Or are they in a rubber band? No, dang it. Bunch of cards. So, but if you stretch a rubber band, it'll hold it just fine. It won't fall out. There's something to it. It has to be stretched, right?
Just like your faith.
So faith that's not being stretched, it's really not going to hold a whole lot. Now, second thing about a rubber band is if you toss it, well, it doesn't go very far. And I could have thrown it hard, put my shoulder out, done all kinds of craziness. But that wouldn't have made any sense at all. But
if you stretch it,
you can get some distance. It'll take you farther. And so faith is the same exact way. If you're operating in your faith, but you started here and you've progressively gotten stronger in your faith, but you won't move on to those things that'll stretch you. If you stay stagnant, your pants will fall down. Like, think about it. It's not that it wore out. The faith is still there, but you haven't done nothing with it. So, last Wednesday, I challenged you all to believe God for something and let it stretch you a little bit. I'm not saying a rubber band will give up eventually. What if it dries out? So keep feeding your faith. If you leave it to the elements too long, there's a lot of things that can make that break easy. Or if you just stretch it too far. So if you're not to a point where you can believe God to pay off your car, believe Him for the next payment. And continuously stretch your faith. And when you can believe God for the next payment, believe Him for two more payments. Believe Him for an extra payment, for principal reduction, whatever it is, and stretch it. And don't stay there and just, I tread lightly on this, but don't go, but God, I had faith, but it's the same faith you've been operated in for the last 5 years. You got to step outside, stretch out a bit, and see what God has for you. Do you mind if I say another thing? So, back at Hebrews 11, 1, and we don't necessarily have to go there, but it said faith does some things. If y'all, I don't know if y'all caught it, but it stood out to me pretty quickly. So, let me get back to the passion. Faith brings. Faith empowers. In verse 4, it says, faith moved Abel. So faith will move you. It translated Enoch. That it translated him from living to living because he didn't die. He never had the sting of death. He went from here on earth to there in heaven. And in the later on, it says that he was promoted. Faith opened Noah's heart. Faith will open your heart to things. And lastly, faith motivated Abraham. God, if you'll allow him, if you'll have faith in his promise, he'll move you where you need to go. He'll motivate you to get there. He'll give you the power and the strength to be able to go. He'll bring you out of things. God is so good. So good. And he'll translate you. Not like Google. That thing mess you up. But he'll translate you from where you're at now to where you're supposed to be. But you have to have faith in God and in his promises to operate in that way. A lot of people are like, God will never challenge me or give me more than I can handle. And some people have talked themselves out of being billionaires I was into the drugs and the ladies. There's a different way to say that. But back when I was young and all that. So God knows that if I had $1 million, I'd just go back to the old me. No. Have faith in God. Not faith in your old life. That's it, sir. We won't cancel anything. I'm just messing with you. But God is good, right? Did you get something from all that? Glory to God. I'm so excited. We get more church this week than normal. Let's play and close. Never mind. We'll pray and we'll close out of this.